The intro makes you giggle, huh? A little giggle already to start out your Tuesday morning. Welcome in, Bill Gunter. Going to be filling in for Heath Klein a little later on today from 4 to 7. That means the Captain Kerry Rich sitting in with us. And Captain Tuxedo is good with you, right?
Yes, as long as it includes the captain. By the way, the intro not only makes me giggle, but the intro gets me hyped.
There we go. That's what we do here. What about some news in the NBA? I guess the big headline, Blake Griffin, superstar. Sindarius Thornwell's got a couple of new teammates and shipped off a few last night. The LA Clippers making the big trade with the Detroit Pistons. Blake Griffin no longer an LA Clipper. First of all, have you kept in contact with Mr. Thornwell? You've spoken to him recently.
Yes, maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And his he was actually, believe it or not, talking about trying to find ways to improve the competition at the SC Pro-Am.
Okay.
And he's gotten a little spoiled. He's played in the NBA, so he's played against
right.
the absolute best. So in his mind, he wants to transfer that same level of talent, that same level of effort to the SC Pro-Am. So he reached out and wanted to see what were some of the things he could do to improve the competition at the SC Pro-Am.
Is he still complaining about LA rent prices?
He is.
That's the last time we had him here in studio. That's interesting that you bring up the Pro-Am. That's the first time I ever saw him play, I think, in person. And you grabbed me. I was a TV camera guy at that point. You're like, this guy's the best player here.
Mm-hmm.
As a high school senior.
You remember that
point.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and that certainly lived up. I mean, there are a lot of guys who peak at different times, mm-hmm. and then that's it. They hit a ceiling, they're done, they don't develop anymore. And then there are a lot of guys who can slow play it too. And then what did I see? I retweeted last night, Lorenzo Cain signs the biggest offseason deal in baseball. Didn't even play organized baseball until he's in the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. So there are those guys as well. Chris Silva kind of along that same kind
yes.
of career arc came to the game of basketball late. Akeem Olajuwon was a famous guy that I grew up with. It mm-hmm. came to the basketball late and played soccer early on and had great footwork because of it. But Thornwell is a guy that just kept getting better and better and better. And even in his college career, I mean, the player he was last year as a senior did not compare to even the guy who was the year before. And that's one of those rare guys that just continues to improve, and now we see him doing it on the NBA stage. PJ Dozier with a big night in the G League last night as well, so it looks like he's continuing to grow his game as well. But interesting that Thornwell now be dealing with different dynamics mm-hmm. With the Clippers.
Yes, and you're excited for him because, as you mentioned, we remember watching Sindarius Thornwell when he was a senior. Coming down to Heathwood Hall for the SC Pro-Am. He drove down from Lancaster every night, and he was excited about driving down every single night. He's the one most he was probably the most dedicated player when it comes to playing in the SC Pro-Am, being on time, being there ready, being excited about playing. And to watch him grow over the 4 years, 5 years that I've watched him, I remember going to see him play as a sophomore at Lancaster High School. Coach Fogle, my old basketball coach at South Carolina, I've talked about, you know, how close he and I are, and every year we get together and we identify the three or four college prospects. And, you know, obviously, you know, he's so connected with all of the college basketball coaches throughout the country, so they often are calling him and referencing his opinion when it comes to, you know, how good a particular prospect is. So we identify four or five kids every year, and we drive and we go watch that young man, and we kind of make an assessment. And I like looking at the game through his eyes. The same as when I go to a game with Frank Moore, I like looking at the game through those guys' eyes. Even if, you know, I have a pedigree when it comes to playing the game and looking at the game from a different perspective, is nothing like looking at a game or watching or scouting a prospect through the eyes of a guy that's. Think about the guys that Coach Fogler has recruited. Mm-hmm. I mean, going back to his days at North Carolina as an assistant, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Sam Perkins of the world. Decent resume. So, and Sindarius Thornwell was one of the young men that we went to see as a sophomore. We drove to Lancaster and went to see this young man as a sophomore. And he never forgot it, and we were able to start a relationship then, and their relationship has nothing but blossomed. Since.
And, of course, currently on the LA Clippers, another South Carolina native not too far away, Bryce Johnson from down in Orangeburg, also was on the LA Clippers until last night. He's part of this big deal. So we got, what, six guys involved in this thing. Three go from the Clippers to the Detroit Pistons, along with Blake Griffin. It's Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed. And then three Pistons come over to LA. I guess this is a contract situation, too, where Griffin's making a ton of money and they're kind of unloading this thing. And then the Clippers, obviously, in some transition just a couple of years ago, looked like they were on the cusp of becoming one of the best teams in the NBA with Chris Paul sitting there, Blake Griffin as well. And they never really could turn the corner. I guess I got to add DeAndre Jordan in that mix as well. And now they're the way I read this, Kerry, is they're selling. They're trying to get out and get what they can for Blake Griffin while they still have a chance. And now they'll move forward after that.
A few different side stories associated with this trade. First of all, let's not minimize the impact that Jerry West will bring to this organization. From what I'm told and from what I've read several times, he got a little bit bored working for the Golden State Warriors because they were just too good and they had all the pieces together. So there was nothing to really do. You know, all you wanted to do was just kind of keep that boat afloat, so to speak. And he's arguably the best that's ever done it. He has a tremendous track record that supports what he's been able to do as a GM. And when you look at Blake Griffin and you look at you know, his time in L.A., I think this right here sends a strong message in the sense you're an all-star. I think he's a star. I don't think he's a superstar. And I think there is a difference. I think you separate yourself when you become a superstar. You become a superstar by being tremendously good during the playoff run. I remember Dwayne Wade was a star, and he became a superstar during the year they won their first NBA championship. And, you know, he separated himself, and he became a superstar. Blake Griffin is not that. And you go back even a few years ago when they were on the cusp of, you know, possibly competing with the Warriors for being the best team in the West. And he couldn't get it done with an all-star point guard in Chris Paul. So if he couldn't get it done, then more than probably not, he'll get it done without a Chris Paul. So this Jerry West an opportunity to kind of, again, break it up and bring in some pieces that will allow them down the road to be able to compete and become one of the best teams in the West. And let's not forget another important variable in this equation. There's a lot of uncertainty hovering over the tenure of Doc Rivers. Is Doc Rivers going to be there beyond this year? We don't know. So a lot of different side stories, a lot of different subplots associated with this trade. Wouldn't necessarily say I was surprised. You've been hearing rumblings. Now you wait to see whether or not DeAndre Jordan is going to be the next to fall.
Lou Williams also rumored to be on the trading block for the Clippers as well. Of course, Doc Rivers has his son Austin Rivers on the roster.
You think they trade him?
That would be interesting. Interesting subplots in the NBA. It always remains dramatic. By the way, Sindarius Thornwell averaging about 13 minutes a game. And as I look for the points per game with the Clippers, he's averaging about 3 points per game, kind of feeling his way, working his way into his rookie season. That's a lot bigger numbers, by the way, than Bryce Johnson was putting up. He's only played in 9 games this year, whereas Thornwell's played in every game but one and started 7 for the Clippers early on in his rookie season. Former Gamecock with another job in the pros. We've been talking about Sindarius Thornwell, obviously, NBA, the Clippers' big trade with the Pistons last night, including Blake Griffin. Sindarius Thornwell not involved in that thing, but obviously will be affected directly. Travell Wharton, another former Gamecock, has a new job. He's going to join on with the Carolina Panthers coaching staff full-time. He's been an intern up there before. He was a full-time coach under Steve Spurrier / Sean Elliott. I guess he was kind of off the field at first with Steve Spurrier. Then when Spurrier leaves, Sean Elliott gets elevated to interim coach. Travell Wharton got elevated to the offensive line coach for the Gamecocks, then took a bit of a break after that to evaluate options. Clearly it has paid off well for him. Now he will join Ron Rivera's staff full-time as the offensive line coach. It was interesting on the defensive line last night, the Carolina Panthers adding former Michigan head coach Brady Hoke, the brother of John Hoke, who coached here with Steve Spurrier as defensive coordinator for a year as well. So plenty of Gamecock connections to the Carolina Panthers staff. I wasn't sure. To me, the way I translated Travell Wharton's career path there was he wasn't sure if coaching was for him necessarily. I'm a little surprised by this, but you know, Steve Spurrier said at some kind of a Letterman's thing I went to one time that Alabama was pursuing Sean Elliott at the time. This was probably 5 years ago, maybe. He's like, yeah, if Elliott was going there, I was calling Travell Wharton. He's going to be my guy. And I think Wharton was still playing at the time. Mm-hmm. He was still playing out of string with the Carolina Panthers. So clearly football people had realized that Wharton would be a really good football coach. He was a really good player for the Gamecocks, longtime NFL guy with the Panthers. And it looks like now he's going to pursue this coaching thing. This surprise you at all?
Not at all. I actually had an opportunity to speak to Wharton last year. We were at an event together. It was a youth event, and we were talking about what he wanted to do. And he talked about just evaluating, and you know, certainly he, while he appreciated coaching, he also appreciated his family time. I remember when he was at South Carolina, he talked about driving back and forth every day, and you know, while he was able to stay here occasionally, he missed out on not being able to spend more time with his kids. I think he also was very well diversified. He made good investments outside of the sport while playing, and this gave him an opportunity to kind of you know, pay closer attention to that. But I think anytime you have other people that want you to be a part of their staff, while it's always impressive when you talk about one's physical abilities, I think it's more impressive when you speak to one's athletic IQ, his acumen and his understanding of the game. And when you have coaches and other folks in the business that recognize that, I think that's singing the highest praise of an athlete. And to have, you know, so many coaches now, you know, see Wharton as that guy, I think it speaks volumes of his understanding of the game, his IQ, his acumen, and his overall understanding of how to be successful at that position.
So now Travell Wharton joining Deuce Daly.
Yes.
South Carolina homegrown Gamecocks, really good playing careers in college and in the pros, who have gone on to join coaching staffs, and clearly it's worked out well for Deuce Daly being in the Super Bowl with the Eagles, along with Alshon Jeffrey taking on Stephon Gilmore. Speaking of former Gamecock football players, kind of those guys are icons in my opinion. Alshon Jeffrey, Stephon Gilmore, homegrown guys, helped Spurrier really turn the tide. Obviously, some of the best players on the field as well.
Stephon Gilmore and Jeffrey got it going. I know Marcus Lattimore was the more celebrated student athlete, and certainly what he did in terms of helping change the culture and, you know, being that consummate leader. That leader that you can't, that natural leader that's just born into that position, mm-hmm. You know, being the hardest working player, you know, being the hardest working teammate. You know, that part is just, that's unprecedented. But Gilmore, I thought, and Jeffrey, those guys, you know, because Gilmore is the one who started it. I think Gilmore could have gone to any school in the country. I remember, and I didn't even follow football that closely, but I remember he had an opportunity to go to Alabama. And anytime you're in state and you have the opportunity to go to Alabama or South Carolina, Clemson, you know what? It takes a lot to say no to Alabama. It takes a lot to say no to Clemson. It takes a lot to say no to many of the other great football programs in the country and make the decision to come to Columbia and play for the University of South Carolina. I think that speaks volumes, and that goes a long, long way. And because of, you know, the name and recognition that Lattimore brought to the University of South Carolina, people might have forgotten Gilmore and you know, his being the first one to really get it going here,
right,
at South Carolina in terms of prospects.
Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina, and started that run where the Gamecocks just dominated that. And not only were they Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina, but they turned out to be tremendous players in college. And then further after that, Jadeveon Clowney, of course, part of that list. Did you see this? Clowney recently... Will Muschamp's a smart dude, right? First of all, he does all he can to hire Marcus Lattimore. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out a couple of years ago with the foundation and all that. They finally figured out a way to do that. That happened, that went official just a couple of weeks ago, I guess maybe even less than that. But the latest news, it was a relatively big recruiting weekend over the weekend. They have a guy in Rick Sandage who's a big-time prospect, lineman out of Concord, North Carolina, four-star defensive lineman. He receives a phone call while he's on his recruiting visit. It came into Marcus Lattimore's phone. It happened to be Jadeveon Clowney. They didn't talk a ton, he said. And Sandage just says, I just had a hard time believing it was actually Clowney on the phone. So Clowney, adding his name to the list of former Gamecocks, still trying to help out the alma mater there. That shows you what Will Muschamp can kind of dial up there. Brent Johnson said he went to the basketball game. He saw a recruit. I'm guessing it might have been Sandage as well, being with hanging out with Muschamp, being kind of paraded around, and he saw a conversation between Dawn Staley and a big-time recruit. It might have been him as well. So
they didn't see me with the recruits or prospects?
I don't know.
I hung out with the recruits and prospects.
We said big-time guys.
It's big-time
big guys. Time.
Dog it, I just missed it. but you know what? And that's why it's so important for coaches to keep that line of communication with players that are no longer there. Your former players, believe it or not, become your best and your strongest recruiters. I'll say this again. Your former players become your best and your strongest recruiters because along with current players. But let's just call it for what it is. When you have name recognition, that's probably a little bit more impactful. As much as the current players need to be a part of it, they need to embrace the prospect. They need to communicate and express how good their experience is and is going to be moving forward. But when you have name recognition, it sounds just a little bit louder, so to speak.
Right.
It's just a little bit more impactful.
I'm guessing Rick Sandage does glean a lot from a guy like DJ Wonnum right now, right? Really good player last year.
Right.
Really good year. The call from Jadeveon Clowney, probably a little bit the next level.
Very
right?
Respectfully said, yes.
Okay. That's what we do here on the program sometimes.
I'm disappointed Brent Johnson did not see me hanging out with the recruits.
Well,
hanging out with the recruits in the locker room.
He probably saw you. He probably just didn't think of anything to tell me.
That's even worse.
803-404-6100. The Love Chevrolet phone lines. Give us a shout this morning. That has that story about Jadeveon Clowney giving a recruit a call has sparked, I think, our Frank's Discount Tire poll question. Who would you like to get a call from? Just one person. One person you got to pick. Oh, I see the captain over here. He went deep into his mind. He's thinking about it. I'm guessing.
Already got it.
Oh, okay. Instantly. Jen Jensen, I think, is going back through her mental Rolodex of her three soaps that she still watches. Maybe you mentioned Rick Springfield yesterday. I'm guessing you would probably like a call from him.
No.
No. We'll get your phone call, who you would like to receive one from.
Besides you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, good luck with that, though.
Yeah, I know.
I don't do those phone call things. You're lucky the text message response. It was nice that you were worried about Bill. Bill Gunter again out this morning. He'll be filling in for Heath Klein a little later on today from 4 to 7. All right, who you got?
Nick Saban.
What?
Nick Saban.
Rat poison.
Not only because he's a winner, he does it. His style is a little bit different.
No doubt. It's all about the process, baby.
It's all about the process.
So you would like a lecture about the process from Nick Saban in your one phone call anybody. You gave me 1,000 guesses. I never would have said Nick Saban for you.
Nick Saban. And you know what? Even though I'd already respected him and held him in the highest regard in terms of what he's able to do from a coaching standpoint, but for him to still see a sports psychiatrist, that says something. Talking about a guy that's at the pinnacle of his profession, talking about a guy who's at the peak.
Shows humility.
That, yes, I'm good, but I still need to be at my absolute best to make sure the message that I'm sending to my kids, to my student athletes, is being received the right way in a productive manner.
May also show that he has to pay someone to listen to him.
I listen
just
to
say.
Him.
Okay.
I love watching him at a press conference.
Okay. Interesting.
It's very simple. He's very simple. It's nothing extravagant about his approach. It's nothing extravagant about how he delivers his message.
When you say that, it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. The true sign of genius is making something very complicated seem very simple.
Exactly.
That's what he does.
You know, we live in a very simple world. It's often complicated.
It doesn't have to be.
Some decisions and some people and some of the other things that happen to take place. But, you know, the world which we live in is very simple. It centers around right versus wrong.
And Nick Saban would be your one phone call. Okay, Jen, do you have an answer for us who you would like to receive a phone call from? Tell me you got a lot better than that. While you're continuing to think, it looks like I'll give you much better answers.
It's on my bucket list to go and watch Alabama practice. Not a game. I don't want to go and watch a game.
Oh, my God.
Because you don't learn anything about a team. You don't learn anything about a coach until you see them in practice, where you have those teaching moments, where you have those moments where players are made to be uncomfortable. And That's when you learn about a team.
What I'm hearing right now is the greatest moment maybe you would ever like to witness in human history was when Saban coached for the Dolphins and he makes that big offense. I think it was an offensive lineman cry at practice. Is that what you're saying? Would that be one of your favorites?
I call it a moment of growth. grow from those moments.
I'm guessing that dude, I don't know if he stayed in the league after that. It's a season a little differently. Garrett Hammond, great response via the Shepherd's Glass inbox this morning at Tim Hill 107.5, where he hit me up. He says, Tiger Woods and Darius Rucker, he'd like to hear them. Call him up, says, we got a tea time Saturday morning at Bulls Bay. They better bring their A games, but I'll take three shots aside, is what Garrett says he would say. Wesley, also a good answer. He says he'd like to hear Chipper Jones give him a call and say, hey, let's go do some hunting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those I completely understand.
Well, because
call
I want to go
Nick
see.
Saban, I do not.
Like rat poison.
And not only, and again, I want to go to a practice.
Okay, so you would like
Think
an invite.
That.
You would just like an invite.
Yes, I want to go to a practice.
Okay.
That's on my bucket list, and I'm going to do that before it's over with. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm going to get to Tuscaloosa to watch an Alabama football practice.
Okay, interesting. Jen, I'm glad that you're viewing this in the same way that I am. You're looking very confused at Carrie right now. So who would you like to get a phone call from?
Boy, I tell you what, I've struggled with that one. There's probably two, but...
Okay, let's hear the mental, what's going on, the struggle, the internal struggle between the two.
Well, as far as... I think Danica Patrick would be an interesting one to hear from. Because there's a lot more than the racing with her, so I think that that would be fascinating.
And she's combined your worlds, too, going to the Indy 500 every year and then being a NASCAR fan as well.
And I've listened to a couple podcasts, and there's just a whole bunch more of
I listened to her recently.
Life.
She's all about the energies and the crystals.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that far.
Now
she's dating Aaron Rodgers, allegedly. Who's also a really fascinating dude. I'm guessing he would be a good answer, actually, to get a phone call from.
You remind me of Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Have you been told that before?
Not at all.
Yeah, you remind me of Aaron Rodgers.
I'll take that, I think. So I'll drive a truck with a dog in it and try to sell insurance to you.
But I think one that would be fun would be, and you would not have any idea what's coming, Bob Uecker.
Okay, that's a good one. I like it.
Because
he combines a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
Former major leaguer, movie star.
Tim, what about for
Mr.
you?
Mr. Belvedere as well, I know him.
What about for you?
To me, this is easy. It's a terrible sellout answer probably, but it'd just be Jordan, Michael Jordan. Come on.
Really?
Yeah, he's the pinnacle, always has been, will be. The phone call would probably be terrible. It wouldn't be interesting necessarily, but just the fact that he would know that I'm alive, right? Even though now he's running the Hornets and that ain't going well.
I got a better one than that.
Okay.
Talk about interesting.
Uh-huh.
What about Frank Martin? You and Frank Martin having a conversation.
Oh, that would be one-sided. I feel like that would be like getting a call from Saban and it would just be about the process and the thing. That would be interesting, though, maybe.
Let's make that happen.
Okay. Yeah, you're the guy who can make that happen. It's not me. That would be interesting for sure. He's the captain, Kerry Rich, in for Bill Gunter this morning as we roll into hour number two, 803-404-6100. Why don't we get out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines right now. Gamecock Larry, our favorite 83-year-old caller, welcoming Kerry into the program this morning. Hello, Larry.
Hey, good morning, all. Captain, I got a question about a former player. Well, not too long ago. What happened to the young man that Frank Martin had? He couldn't play. Kevin Steele, is he still with the program?
Yes, sir. You're talking about Brian Steele, and he's one of the student assistants.
Brian Steele, right. He's still with the program. I'm just wondering.
Yes, he's one of the student assistants, and he sits right behind Frank Martin every game. And he's
not
been
too far from you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not too far from me, yeah. Yes, he's a very important piece to what this team is trying to do. Frank enjoys having people around that have been a part of the program because – it helps convey the message. It helps give a different perspective from the standpoint of players always respond differently to guys that played. Mm-hmm. And, especially recently, teammates always respond more favorably to each other because you can't trick your teammate. You guys know what you're doing, and So there's a level of accountability that's shared. But yes, Brian is still with the program. He sits right behind Frank Martin every game.
And Larry had a press conference the other day.
Anybody can call me if they want to, because I enjoy talking to people. Anybody want to call me, just give me a call.
Anybody.
Old Game Cock Larry, I'll talk to you all day. No, I got to listen to 107.5, 9 hours, 10 hours out of the day. I just do not like old Dan Patrick from 9 to 12.
So from 9 to 12.
Like him.
Give Game Cock Larry a call.
9 to 12, I don't listen to him, but I listen to 107.5 all the time from 6 to 9, from 12 to 6, 12 to 7, 12 to 8. Baseball games, I just listen to. That's my station, 107.5. Anything's on TV, put the TV on mute and listen to my 107.5 announcers. Go Game Cox, talk to you later. Enjoy talking to old Terry. And you tell, okay, I'll call Bill this afternoon. I got something to get on Bill about, but
nice.
I'll talk to him. All right.
Game Cock Larry, ladies and gentlemen. It was trying to tell him that Frank Martin had a recent press conference. For some reason, I don't know how Brian Steele came up, but he did and just mentioned what a good coach he's going to end up being.
Yes.
Again, like we talked about in hour number one, Trevell Wharton, the news popping out yesterday that he's joining the Carolina Panthers coaching staff as the offensive line coach. Steve Spurrier, 5 years ago, something like that, mentioned that he would like to hire him as the offensive line coach for South Carolina. And you said players, hear it from other players. Spurrier being a former player, coach as well, you recognize these things in guys. Clearly, Trevell Wharton has been kind of cut out for that for a long time now. Mm-hmm. But this is really his kind of first foray, especially in the NFL as a position coach, kind of following in the footsteps of Deuce Daly, former Gamecocks from the University of South Carolina, from the state of South Carolina, and tremendous pro careers as well, getting into the game as a coach. It's worked out well for Staley, taking him now to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. He and Alshon Jeffrey taking on Stephon Gilmore. They were part of the media day hysterics yesterday. Didn't see anything too silly popping out there, but I didn't pay much attention either because that thing's a cluster. P.J. Dozier, big night last night. The G League, Oklahoma City team is who he plays for. He's one of those two-way players where you're going to play a certain amount of you're going to get a certain amount of time in the NBA, but it's kind of limited. Most of the time will be spent down in the G League, and I guess Oklahoma City is one of the few, and this might describe Oklahoma City pretty well, that actually has its G League team in there as well. They're the Oklahoma City Blue, and a season-high 26 points last night for P.J. Dozier. Also had nine rebounds, I should say, and a couple of assists. You think he's looking pretty good there, huh?
No, he is looking good, and he's in a really good situation. And you mentioned the fact that it's one of the few teams that has a G League team. They use the same facility. So it's not uncommon for him to practice against Westbrook and practice with those guys and against those guys. And but he has played well this year. And you know, I saw some of the clips. I saw some of the highlights. And he's jumping like he was jumping before the knee issues and just playing with the confidence, playing with a nice feel. And, you know, while it didn't start ideally for him when it comes to the NBA and just fulfilling that dream, he's certainly en route to still be able to have a long and productive NBA career. It's just a matter of time before he gets called up and not only just get called up, but find a way to sustain. And, you know, I was talking to you off the air. He's with a franchise, with an organization that scouted him more than any other team in the NBA. Oklahoma City was here from day one, and Sam Presti, the GM, whenever he comes to town, whenever GM comes to town, it's pretty serious. And he spent a few days in Columbia last year while PJ was playing. And you know, outside of that knee issue that, you know, many people that's well documented, that certainly impacted his ability to get drafted. But he's in a good situation. They're going to grow him. They're going to develop him. They're going to nurture him. And you look to see him in the NBA for a long time. It's just a matter of time.
The other former Gamecock in the NBA right now, Sandarius Thornwell, mm-hmm. the LA Clippers, they're headlining today because of what they did last night. Big trade, sending Blake Griffin and a couple of others, including Orangeburg native Bryce Johnson, to Detroit, getting some draft picks back, a first and second rounder in this thing. There were six players involved, three coming from Detroit, three leaving the Clippers, excuse me, including those two guys. So what do you think right now? How does the P.J. Dozier's situation, which you say is really good for Oklahoma City, and his future as a pro. How does that compare to where Sindarius Thornwell is right now? Because you mentioned in the first hour, I think, Doc Rivers and his future as the coach with the L.A. Clippers kind of in doubt right now. The management, you would think, or at least I would think from the outside, is about as good as you can get. You got Lawrence Frank, who has a really good reputation as being kind of the front man right now with Jerry West in the background. And you got Ballmer as the owner there. You'd think pretty stabilized compared to other NBA teams. How do you feel like the situation is for Thornwell maybe before last night, and now does it change at all because of this trade?
Well, I think he's in a good situation. And Lawrence Frank, one of the guys you mentioned in terms of being out front, he was one of he was a major component in scouting Sindarius, and he's a big, big fan of Sindarius. He talks about his savvy and his feel for the game, his level of intelligence, and the toughness that he brings to the floor. Lawrence Frank is a big, big fan of Sindarius, and anytime there's a trade, I think it represents a new opportunity. I think you now get a new opportunity, and if you're Sindarius, and you know he's just a different young man now. He's always been confident, but when you're in the NBA, think about it, you're amongst the best, and you have to think like you're one of the absolute best. So psychologically, mentally, it makes you into a person that's just far different from the folks that you're around outside of your NBA guys. And so I think he'll be fine. He's gotten a taste of it. He understands it. He's always been a guy that understood the details, the intricacies that kind of go along with it. So he'll figure it out. And hopefully this is a new opportunity for him. This is what trades often do. They open up doors and they create new opportunities, and hopefully he'll be able to kind of take advantage of some of those opportunities. But it helps when you have a guy like Lawrence Frank, who's part of that management, being one of your biggest fans. And as much as I like Doc, with everything that we've seen happen, that dark cloud of uncertainty, unfortunately, seems to hover over him moving forward in terms of transitioning to next year.
A couple more of their best players reportedly still on the trading block right now. DeAndre Jordan and
yes.
Lou Williams kind of at the top of that food chain. Sindarius Thornwell averaging about 13 minutes a game and 3 points so far to start his NBA career with the LA Clippers. Let's get back out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines at 803-404-6100. Levi is up next with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Hey, what's going on, Kerry? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, I just really wanted to shed some light on my 7th, 8th grade boys basketball team. Congratulate them on a 9-2 regular season on record. We just finished up last night against Southeast Middle School and just wanted to shed some light on some area youth here. They did a fantastic job for me, and we'll be getting ready for the playoffs starting tomorrow.
All right, we're talking about Hopkins right. Middle School, is that right?
There you go.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Levi. We're going to go on, continue on the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Thomas is up next, answering the poll question we have asked you this morning, because Jadeveon Clowney called Marcus Lattimore the other day when Rick Sandage just happened to be on a recruiting visit. So it seems to me that Will Muschamp, being smart, reaching out, getting some guys in, a little star power right there. Who would you like to give? Who would you like to receive a phone call from? Gary's given the awful, awful answer of Nick Saban. Tell me you got a better response than that, Thomas.
Well, I hope I do. Actually, as a Packers fan, I would love to receive a phone call from Brett Favre.
Okay.
Obviously. And I would love to receive a phone call from Lane Kiffin just so I can hang up on him.
So that phone call would go something like this.
What an exciting time.
Click. Well done, Thomas.
Yep.
Well done. Appreciate the phone call there, sir. So we've added to Chipper Jones we had. We got a Tiger Woods and a Darius Rucker one. Now we got a Brett Favre one. Favre, as long as he stays away from the pictures and the text messages, it would be a decent guy to get a phone call
I'm a
from.
Big Brett Favre fan also.
So we did the show the other day, a little less than a week ago. Who are your guys? You got to pick one guy in each sport. Favre was both Bill and I's guy in football. I think because we saw basically his whole career, I think there's just something to that guy where I think most of us can
relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something to that. And
he's my guy too.
Okay. He's your guy in football.
Yes. He's my guy.
As opposed to Tom Brady,
yes.
Where it's a little more difficult to relate, I think, to the guy who marries the supermodel and
best on the field.
Just, just hooked up with Belichick back in the day, and they just have something that no one else in the history of sports probably has. They've been the most prolific duo, player-coach, in the history of sports, and they got a chance to do it again. We'll get your thoughts on the Super Bowl as we continue to roll on this morning, getting towards the second half of the program, about to tip that thing off. Already, baby, we're rolling. Kerry Rich sitting in, the captain Kerry Rich sitting
Thank
for
you.
Bill Gunter. He keeps hitting
Thank
me on the back of the head when
Thank
I don't
you.
Say it that way.
I worked really, really hard to earn that title.
Captain Tuxedo in this morning for Bill Gunter. The captain Kerry Rich recently inducted into the Richland One Hall of Fame. How was that, sir?
Well, first of all, it was a very humbling experience.
You look dapper in your tuxedo.
Thank you, my man. It was very expensive, too, by the way, because I also had to buy a tuxedo for my 13-year-old son.
What, oh, you had to buy it or you had to rent it?
Well, I had to,
Come
had
on
to
now.
Rent it.
There's a, big, right. there's a big difference.
You're
so
right.
Yours was a rental as well?
Yes.
That's the way to go, man.
I don't think so. I think I'm going to end up buying a tuxedo.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't. Well, you're more big time than me then. Last time I put on I can't tell you the last time I put on tuxedo. Prom?
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up buying a tuxedo. But, you know, very humbling moment, humbling experience, and kudos to Richland District 1 for putting on a first-class event making the decision to honor all of us. It was five of us in the highest regards. And, you know, anytime you're celebrated in that form, in that fashion, it gives you an opportunity to not only reflect on the days that you were able to experience elementary school, middle school, high school, but also it gives you an opportunity for me to share with those people that experienced that run along with me, folks that I grew up with. You know, I grew up less than 5 minutes from here, inner city Columbia, the projects, the biggest set of projects in the state of South Carolina. And trust me when I say there was something to do every single day, the good, the bad, the ugly. And from a decision-making standpoint and now, athletically, I was able to separate myself, and because of that, was kind of one of the protected ones there. And those guys are my most loyal friends. They enjoy the ride with me, and you know that's probably the greatest thing about it, because you quickly realize that you didn't do this by yourself. You know, as much as some people think they got it done by themselves, you need a lot of help, you need a lot of guidance, you need a lot of protection, you need a lot of luck. And I was lucky. I'm one bad decision away from not being here in this capacity. And, you know, basketball gave me an unbelievable platform, and it gave me a platform to share my message. And while basketball is what I hang my hat on, certainly having the opportunity to impact our youth through sports and through other things, mentoring, you know, that's why I'm forever grateful. And that's what that honor does for me. Just, you know, having the opportunity to enjoy the platform and reflect and share that moment with people that are really, really close to you.
As you were talking about that, it reminded me of Alshon Jeffrey, other homegrown
yes.
Gamecocks. Obviously, Alshon on the Super Bowl stage now. When he was deciding what college he was going to go to, it was a very public thing with Lane
yes.
Kiffin then as the coach of Tennessee saying, well, if you end up going to local South Carolina just down the street, you're going to end up pumping gas.
Yeah.
Whitney applies that via the Shepherd's Glass inbox this morning to our poll question. What famous athlete would you like to get a call from? She says she was piggybacking off one of our previous callers who mentioned Lane Kiffin would be
right.
someone he would like to get a phone call from so he could just tell him where to go. Mm-hmm. Whitney says, I'd like to talk to him about how well Alshon is pumping gas right now. at Tim Hill 107.5, at the captain _03, where you can hit us up this morning about who you would like to receive a phone call from. This is coming from the story that Rick Sandage got a phone call via Marcus Lattimore from Jadeveon Clowney in his recent recruiting trip to South Carolina. He's a defensive lineman, a 4-star guy out of North Carolina, talking to Jadeveon Clowney, kind of a big deal. Tiger Woods, who Troy hits us up with just very simply, who he'd like to get a phone call from via the Shepherd's Glass inbox. Tiger back on the course, finishing a PGA Tour tournament for the first time since 2015 over the weekend.
Yes. I couldn't believe that was actually a story.
But I
get it,
right?
And I guess it speaks to how far of a just how steep of a fall he
mm-hmm.
actually experienced. And to be able to get back to where finishing – a round actually it becomes a story.
Right. Made the cut on the
wow.
number there at the
yeah.
Farmers Insurance Open there. Finishes tied for 23rd.
Can he win again?
If you're a guy pulling for that, you saw some promise there, right?
Did
I
you
think,
see some?
Yeah, no doubt. I
mean, can he win again?
The way he scrambled around the hole, he didn't hit the drive worth a dang. The worst mm-hmm. he's ever driven the ball. 30% of fairways, but they're really narrow there. So it was a tough challenge for him. If he can get that going at the same time, I could see him winning again. It's hard to bet against anybody that has the type of pedigree that he does, which is kind of unparalleled beside Jack Nicklaus, him coming back and winning one golf tournament.
But most of that was mental. Well, obviously, right, physically, he was really, really good. But the thing that people used to, you know, rave about
sure.
regarding Tiger Woods was his mm-hmm. mental approach, his laser-sharp focus and his mental discipline and toughness. And
then the fall from that?
I don't know whether he could – I don't know whether that's irreparable. I don't know whether he can get that back.
I hear you.
I don't know whether he can get that, because that was the one thing that separated him. And when he went through what he went through, that compromises self-esteem. That compromises sure. confidence just a little bit now.
But then to compound that with some physical issues with his back and yeah. his knee and the whole thing. Yeah,
I hope he wins. I'm not counting against him. But
yeah, I'm kind of pulling for it, too. Golf is much more interesting with him involved
really?
At all. No doubt. I mean, Jason Day and Alex Noren played really well and ended up making a playoff, right? I watched the end of the playoff on Sunday. They finished it yesterday. I didn't watch. I don't even know who won.
So Tiger has that type of impact, huh?
Absolutely. In the yeah. world of golf, and then beyond that, I think for a lot of sports fans out there. Let's get back out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines now. Hank weighing in this morning, talking about Gamecock basketball. Certainly a big weekend. And Carolina women with a 10-point win over Missouri. Hard-fought, physical, emotional win. The Gamecock men coming up on the short end of things with a 7-point loss to Texas Tech. What do you got for us this morning, Hank?
Hey, two things. I want to speak a little bit about the men and the women. First, on the men's side, watching their games, one person I wanted to kind of highlight is Justin Minaya. I think he is going to be such a good player for the men. Wow, guys. There's a lot of stuff, and he's a freshman, but there's a lot of stuff that he does really well and really nice. And once he gets a little bit more strength in the weight room, he's going to have some of them highlight dunks and finish, because he is Ed's just a good-looking freshman. And I, you know, just because they're, you know, the team is kind of up and down right now, I think people need to realize this kid is going to be really good. Hear Carey's thoughts on it, because I just kind of watch him and me and a couple of guys just talking about how much potential he has. And on the women, just they had a good win over the weekend. Looking forward to Thursday night's game. I think Thursday night's game is going to be a whole lot more competitive, and the girls will have a shot to win that game, because I think that the team, the girls have kind of gotten out of the thing of it being some type of all-star type game deal now. They kind of have played, I think this is what Dawn envisioned years ago when she started playing them, is kind of like how when Notre Dame plays UConn, is it's more of a, it's a big game, but it's more of a game than an event now. And UConn is very balanced, so it's going to be tough, and you got to keep them out of transition. But our point guard is going to be real key in that game. She played with the point guard from UConn. And in fact, she outplayed the girl on the USA basketball team. She was a member of the all-tournament team at the national tournament, our girl was. And Asia and Jenna's down low with UConn's lack of height down low. It's going to be a low. But it's going to be an interesting game, because UConn is a machine and they're very well balanced. So you have to continue to play well throughout the game. You can't have a slip. But just wanted to throw that out there and hear your thoughts, but I want to hear Kerry's thoughts on Justin Minaya, because I just like everything about that kid's look in his game.
Thanks, Hank. Appreciate the phone call there. Ty Harris, the point guard you're talking about for the USC women's mm-hmm. team, and really where I've seen the most improvement, I think, from this year compared to last year's national championship team. She was just a freshman last year, kind of mm-hmm. figuring out. I think she's really figured things out to a large degree this year on the women's side of thing. And I think he's right. UConn coming to town on Thursday doesn't have the field this year like it's had in years past, mm-hmm. largely because the USC women are now the national champs. Mm-hmm. But also, I think, a large part to do with this three-game stretch they're in the middle of. Missouri, a lot of off-the-court kind of stuff coming in there, a lot of emotion. And then you have Mississippi State looming next Monday as well. And those are bigger games to Carolina's SEC championship hopes this year than the UConn game. And the UConn game is almost like an exhibition kind of in the middle of the season.
No way do you ever associate exhibition with UConn.
Meaning
no
that
way.
It has no effect on anything
exhibition?
Else.
No way do you ever associate exhibition game with UConn.
Well, I mean it in a good way. It almost stands out completely different than what you're seeing in conference and the effects. Yeah, in a good way, because UConn is different than any other women's basketball program.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
But this year, because we've seen it year in and year out now for the last several years, I think it's not quite the event like Hank mentioned, and it's more of a game, and I think the Gamecock players can handle it as such as opposed to in years past.
That's fair when it comes to it now being a game as opposed to being an event. I think when UConn was first put on the schedule, it was more so for fans. It was a big event. For Dawn Staley, it was what she needed to be able to grow her program. She used UConn as a barometer.
Also, the way that the Gamecocks have dominated in the SEC the last few years, the common refrain I heard from fans after a game was, all right, well, when does UConn come to town?
Right.
And that was the measuring stick.
Right.
This year, the Gamecocks have different measuring sticks, Missouri being one of them, Mississippi State being another one, and then there's also UConn.
Yeah, there's some who suggest Mississippi State being the best team in college basketball.
Right. They're undefeated.
Yeah, they're undefeated, and they have everybody back.
But UConn's undefeated, too.
Yeah. And UConn is still UConn.
Right. But Mississippi State was the team that knocked them out last year.
Yes, yes. So it is a tough stretch for the women basketball program. And you were mentioning Ty Harris. She was huge for the Gamecocks in the second half Sunday against Missouri. And she did it by shooting the basketball from behind the arc, shooting the three ball. She didn't necessarily shoot it last year that well, but she came up huge for the Gamecocks there in the second half. And she's been on a quiet little run. Yeah, she's been on a quiet little run, getting double doubles, and she's been a key figure for that basketball team during this little stretch. And it is always going to psychologically be a little bit challenging when teams aren't guarding you on the perimeter, when they aren't respecting you, so to speak, when they're doubling off of you, so to speak, almost daring you.
Well, she said she felt disrespected because they're just basically daring her to shoot the three.
And now here's the tricky part. Mm-hmm. If you don't step up and you shoot it with confidence, shoot it with conviction, you're excited about taking that shot, if you miss one or two,
that gets in your head,
psychologically, I don't care who you are. You're thinking about it, you're second-guessing, and you're not making too many perimeter shots if you're second-guessing that thing once you release it.
A lot of times, those are the hardest ones to make,
those are
right?
the hardest ones,
It's just like kind of like a free throw when everybody else is off the lane.
Yes.
It's just different. It feels weird.
Yes.
I can see that. Hank called us up wondering your perspective on Justin Manaya, a guy who came in kind of under the radar, one of the last signees, I think, in last year's class, but as a freshman has been a constant contributor, a starter for the Gamecocks, and really good, especially defensively. Frank Martin pointing out the other night at the six-minute mark or so when Manaya gets his fourth foul, that's when things started to go bad for the Gamecocks, especially defensively, is where Manaya gets a lot of credit. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I thought that was a huge compliment from Frank Martin when you single out a freshman, because it's one of the most challenging things you have to be able to do to play for Frank Martin is defend. You have to play with the toughness.
And that's usually the toughest transition from high school to college.
That is the toughest transition. He often kids about the fact that, you know, the first couple of weeks is all fun. And then when it's time to teach defense, that's when it becomes a little bit more interesting for the guys. And for Frank to talk about how quickly he's become acclimated to the defensive side of the court, I think speaks volumes. And while he's been up and down offensively, he is a capable shooter. But what happens when you get into conference play, there's increased scouting, there's more familiarity, so you're not going to get many wide-open shots. And teams now know a little bit more about you, so they aren't going to let you get your feet set. They're going to chase you off of your spots and, you know, make you become a driver as opposed to a shooter. So he's getting used to that part, but for him to be as effective as he's been defensively, I think speaks volumes. And, you know, while we're talking about the guys that are going to be here next year, you know, Rob Felder will be back. That'll be a big addition. Brian Bowen will be a huge addition. But you also have to look at what's happening inside the current team. Justin Manaya will be a sophomore. So that means he's 1 year stronger, 1 year more knowledgeable, 1 year better when it comes to the overall understanding. And now you couple that with guys who will bring something else to the table, it makes it that much more enjoyable to think about.
And you're a guy from a point guard perspective talking about the value of intangibles and leadership and all
yes.
that stuff. Justin Manaya being the son of former Mets GM Omar Manaya, being
yes.
around sports his entire
makes
life as he grew up in the clubhouse.
Osmosis is the word that we like to associate with that.
Just hearing him speak recently in a couple of press conferences, you can tell that that has rubbed off on him. And if you're talking about projecting guys, we were talking earlier about Sindarius Thornwell and how you could recognize from an early age that he was going to be a really talented player. But there are a lot of really talented players at an early age. Some of them just don't continue to improve and raise their ceiling like Thornwell has done. You got to project Manaya to be able to take those steps year in and year out because of those intangibles he brings. He knows the value of working and putting in that work and how much that can increase your value as a player. You got to project things very high for him as far as his ceiling.
Perspective and insight. You will always hear me say often that, yes, we could all look at the game on the surface. We could all go and sit in the stands and see what's happening on the surface, whether it's basketball, baseball, football. And it's easy to see that. But there's also a game within the game. Every game that we watch, there's a game within a game. When it comes to strategy, it's a cat and mouse game. It's one coach outsmarting the other. So there's always a game within the game. And when you've had the opportunity to grow up around the sport through osmosis, which means you lived it every single day, you're going to be a little bit ahead of the learning curve, which is why probably he's been able to adjust a lot quicker than some of the other players we've seen come through here, because you live it every single day. You hear even though it's different sports, the intangibles, those things are the same. Still got to listen, got to play with extreme effort, got to be a good teammate, got to pay attention to the detail. You got to concentrate on the little things. So many of those things, regardless of the sport, they all apply to being a part of a team and being a productive player within that team. So that's why he's been able to kind of get out ahead of the learning curve from that perspective, from that insight. And those are things that just can't be taught.
We're out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines now, 803-404-6100. Swayze would like to weigh in on Carolina basketball as we're right smack in the middle, or getting towards the end, actually. I guess 10 regular season games left for the Gamecock men. Good morning, Swayze.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Kerry, first of all, congratulations on your award. Very well deserving. And you said something a few minutes ago, nobody gets there by themselves. And, I'm happy where our basketball program is. And not only have we got great coaches, but we got great people, and they're making a difference in these kids' lives on and off the court. And just a little experience, you know, I coach rec ball, basketball and baseball throughout my career. I'm getting a little bit older now, but, you know, just to have people come up to you later on in life and let you know that you made a difference in their kid's life means so much. And having said that, I had the pleasure again last night being out in Camden, rec ball girls, 7 to 10 years old. And the All-State girls just played lockdown Frank Martin defense. Aaron Campbell did, and they were shooting the ball well. And I tell you, it just makes you feel good when you get back in the community and see kids and what it means to them. And Kay, you've done so much for this state and this community at the university, and you're giving back to it. And that's what makes me proud to know that you're a Gamecock alumni, because you not only did great things at the university, but you're giving back, and that's what life's all about. And I just want to thank you personally, and knowing that we've got great coaches running our program at the University of South Carolina. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Swayze. How about that?
Yeah.
How much you pay him this morning?
Check is in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
It'll remain between he and I.
Okay. Fair enough. Wise investment, I would say, on your part.
Thank you.
You got a new agent.
Yes, I do. And I don't know, just I was once an inner city kid, so there's a commitment to me to not only impact all kids, but that group in particular. I got to stay true to who I am. I got to stay true to where I'm from, and got to be a living example for those young men, young ladies in the inner city of Columbia.
We'll see if you can up your game as we move into hour number three. He's the captain, Kerry Rich, sitting in for Bill Gunter. I'm Tim Hill. This is the early game. You're listening to 107.5 The Game.